Non.
All right, welcome to our After Hours show. We just got done finished. We got done finished. We just finished with X-Men the First Class. And yeah, now we're moving on to our Patreon only After Hours show. Tobias, what are we talking
Yeah.
about today?
Well, we would normally talk about a Stan Lee cameo to start out,
Right.
but there was no Stan Lee cameo, which is very odd.
Very odd. That's one thing about like this movie is I feel like it stands out among a lot of the other even just superhero movies. It's more sto I feel like this one's more like character and story driven than most superhero movies, and I think the director is intentional in that. 'Cause it was like I think this was the only X-Men movie he did. So it's so his name's Vaughn. It's not Vince Vaughn. Matthew Vaughn. I think it's Matthew Vaughn. I believe this. Well, no. Oh no, I think he was almost the director of X-Men Last Stand, but it went to the other guy, and so
It's Matthew Vaughn.
yeah, Matthew Vaughn. So I think this is the only one he did. Either ways, like I don't know if like he just wanted to stand out and not include Stan Lee and it. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because I how
So
many.
there was a Stan Lee cameo in the other in this trilogy, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I guess I don't
Because
know.
I
I
can't
think there
think of
was.
them,
I can't remember.
but
Well, yeah.
I guess we'll see. But
I
I'm
don't
pretty
know.
sure there were.
Yeah, I think so. So, I don't know. But yeah, no Stanley cameo. But there was a certain cameo that was fun to watch.
Yeah, so the Wolverine cameo.
Yeah, I thought that was well done. It was just typical Wolverine.
That's
Charles
exactly what I
Xavier
wrote was
go.
typical.
Yeah.
Typical Wolverine.
Right.
With
Right.
the one F word they were allowed to use for a
Yep.
PG-13 rating, and they just
Yep.
give it to him to
Of
just
course.
say to
I think he gets most of the F words in the X-Men movies. Ridiculous.
Which will be interesting to see him in Deadpool to see if they give him a
Well,
lot of
yeah.
cussing.
Well, I mean, they had Logan as rated R, and
Oh yeah, that's true.
so, but
Yeah.
it's probably be more in Wolverine and X-Men or Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah. So I thought that was good. They go to the bar, to they're recruiting all the mutants. They find, Wolverine, which this is before he got the antimidium, antimidium, I can't say it.
Yeah.
Antimidium?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Antimidium? I
Animedium.
don't know.
Animedium.
Antimidium. The metal things. Before he got that, so he was just, good old bony, clawed Wolverine.
Just living his life
Living his life.
at
Yeah.
the
So
bar.
that was fun.
Yeah. And then end credit scene. Again, there wasn't one.
There's nothing. Yeah, there's another thing. So it's like I don't know if it was just a directorial choice. Probably
Yeah.
was. But so just kind
Let's
of
see
he
what
just kind of
else
stood
he's done.
out. But I do think this movie stands out as unique to the other ones. The other ones feel a lot more comic booky and a lot more like the X-Men than maybe this one. So I don't know, like if that's the reason, but yeah, no end credit scene, which is funny. I mean, the Magneto scene was kind of like an end credit scene at the end where he goes
Yeah.
and
It was
rescues
the
Emma
same
Frost.
concept
Yeah,
as
right. But they kept it in the
those, but
movie
yeah.
because it, I think it complemented the story and his character arc, so it made sense.
But yeah, as the same concept as what an end credit scene did, and so yeah, probably just directorial preferences or something.
Right.
I have a list of things just in movie news that yeah, I want to go through. I can go through a few of them.
Yep, let's do it. Do we want to talk about Marvel first, or is there anything in Marvel related?
Yeah, I have one Marvel one, so we can start with that. Oh, wait, actually, I have a couple Marvel. So I want to start with the Marvels.
Okay.
It ended its theater run just this last weekend, and it came to a total of $197 million.
It's no longer in theater? Because I think what happened is Disney decided to stop reporting the numbers. I don't know if it's out of theaters. Is it?
It said it ended its theatrical run, so I don't know what that means entirely.
You might be right. They might have a little bit, like they're like they fell out of the top 10 movies, and there's not that many movies out, and no one's seeing it, and there's no reason to keep it in theaters. I'm sure most theaters are not playing it anymore. In fact,
So needed $700 million to break even, made not even 200.
To break even,
not even 200. They literally lost $500 million in this movie.
Yep, exactly. Man, that is just wild. Yeah. And they had such an inflated budget, and I haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen it, from what I've heard, it's just another kind of CGI mess. It's just they overdid the visual effects, which is, for the most part, it's fine. It's just when you're spending that much money, it's like make it look better.
There's another thing that I heard because I watched something about it they established their rules with like how the characters like jump spaces every time they use their powers.
Yep.
But then there was tons of times in the literal fight where they were using powers and then jumping where they used their powers and they didn't jump like many times. So they literally just abandoned their rules and just didn't work. So that was the Marvels.
But the fact, like, this is just putting a nice bow on this. Was this the final Phase 4 movie?
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of puts a bow on, or I would say a bow. Like, it's a great representation of the rest of Phase 4, which was just not good. There were some high points, but for the most part, I feel like it was just a mess.
There's definitely a lot of like good shows, but even in the sense of like there were a lot of good shows, one of their problems was how many shows they did and how they have all these characters and all these places that they just can't connect at this point.
People aren't following all of it, and so when you make a movie where it's a sequel to a character's movie. But then it has two characters from two different Disney Plus shows, one of which not very many people watched, Ms. Marvel, and the other one, WandaVision, which, still, like, you don't really, when you watch WandaVision, you don't really remember much about Monica Rambeau or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
It was just.
And she got her powers so weirdly, too.
That was kind of dumb. That aspect of it had everything going against it, and it's the fact that it only made not even $200 million is insane. A Marvel movie in this day and age not making that much, and adjusted for inflation, it's like no one went to see it. Like an Incredible Hulk made more than that. And not very many people went and saw Incredible Hulk, but also ticket prices were like half of what they are now back in 2008.
Yeah.
That's just an example. But like no one went to see this movie. It barely made $200 million, where ticket prices were $15 a ticket for most theaters. And it's just, no one cared. No one went to see it. No one saw it over Thanksgiving weekend. Talking about Disney, the other movie that came out for Disney was Wish. And I don't know if you want to talk about that one at all, but that one didn't make any money, and it was like third over the Thanksgiving Day weekend. And Thanksgiving weekend is like is Disney's like big weekend. Like that's when Frozen 1 and Frozen 2 came out. Coco came out on that weekend. There's a handful of other movies. Like they put aside that weekend. They set aside that weekend to make sure they put their big budget movies there so that people will go see it, because they're usually the family movies, you know, so that families will go see it while they're visiting for the holidays and whatnot for Thanksgiving. And no one went to see Wish. It was like third. I think the horror movie Thanksgiving, the slasher movie, I think did better over the holiday weekend than Wish, which is insane. I think it was like third. So there was another movie. I don't remember what it was that did better, but it's going to lose money. I think it was like another $200 million budget or so.
Yeah.
And it's doing horribly.
Did you hear what that movie was about?
Yeah.
So literally
the bad guy.
So literally the bad guy is the good guy and the good guy is the bad guy. So bad guy has a power to grant wishes, but he doesn't grant them exactly what they wish, and he doesn't grant everybody their wishes. He grants, you know, it's like if somebody wants to be buff, he gives them a gym membership. That's how he grants the wish. So he just is very, he's very wise. He's literally very wise with his power, like extremely wise. But the good guy, the princess, doesn't like that. She wants him to give everybody exactly what they want, exactly when they need it, or exactly when they want it. Exactly what they want, exactly when they want it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so bad. Oh, man. that's the thing. Like, you get to be who you want to be. You can wish whatever you wish upon a star, and your dreams will come true, and be whoever you want to be. You know, it's all about you. And it's like, no, how dare the king not grant everyone their wishes? How dare he hold that power and do what's best for his kingdom as a wise ruler and a king? I mean, I'm sure they probably have him. There's probably a nefarious side to it. I don't know. I'm sure he has maybe nefarious motives and means of reaching those motives. But for the most part, like, the whole concept is, it's bad. And apparently it's like an origin of the whole Wish Upon a Star thing for Disney. So you have, like, at the end, apparently there's like the fairy godmother, you know, the wishing star, probably Jiminy Cricket, maybe, I don't know, maybe the genie. I don't know if that's true, but basically it's like the whole point is to set up that whole concept of you wish for what you want. You wish upon a star and your dreams come true. You find your fairy godmother and she gives you what you want till midnight, and I think they set that up apparently in the movie. And so this was Disney's 100-year anniversary movie. This was their it was a big deal. They wanted to make sure they were hoping this was gonna push them ahead, to the next generation, next 100 years. And I think someone recently said that this wasn't Disney's 100th anniversary movie. It was 100 years of Disney, and or a movie released after 100 years of Disney. Like, this does not represent what Walt Disney stood for and what he wanted in his movies and what he tried to what he built the company to be. And instead you have all these woke activists and people who are just, you know, that just want to push their agendas and create these stories that no one cares about, no one wants to see.
Yeah.
And Disney.
Well, this
Disney
whole year,
go ahead.
This year was their 100th year. Like, if you think about the whole year of the content that they released, it was just, it's so disappointing. Like, it was supposed to be
terrible,
a big year for them. And it just ended up being just a very disappointing.
And if I'm not mistaken,
all around,
there's only one movie that Disney released this year that made a profit. And it was barely made a profit. It was Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Guardians had to be.
I'm pretty sure. And it, like, barely made its budget. Like, it barely made any money back. It made a lot, but I think they had to make $700 to make a profit, and they made $900, so they made, like, $200 million profit. But every single other movie lost money. You know, they had Marvel's lost $500 million and whatnot. And then they had I think it was either November or December last year, they had Avatar 2 come out. So they got a lot of box office going into the next year for that, but that was just a Fox product that Disney bought the licensing for. So like, it wasn't even their movie. You know, it's because they just bought 20th Century Fox, and but that was it. Like, this last year it's just a terrible year for Disney, and I don't think it's gonna get any better.
I mean, on the Marvel side of next year, I mean, we're only getting one movie, so
right.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows what their animated plans are, or other just weird projects that they do. What other live action adaptation they're doing?
Are they doing any TV shows this year? I'm sure they are.
Probably, yeah. I'm sure there's. I don't know. I think I've heard Agatha, that. They have all those.
I think they're supposed to do a She-Hulk season. Well, maybe not this year. No. They have What If season 2. Is that this year? That's out. Or it's supposed to lead up to Christmas. So I think it's probably out by now. Oh. Yeah.
Huh. I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Check that out. Yeah. So then the other Marvel thing that I saw was that Iron Man is not returning.
Yes, this
confirmed, is great. Oh, man. Confirmed by Kevin Feige. That came out yesterday, I believe.
So apparently this is reported. I don't know if it was confirmed, but apparently, yes, Kevin Feige said that Robert Downey Jr. is not coming back. And I think I know why. I think he doesn't want to come back. Because, what are they going to do? He's going to come back for one movie. It's going to be a nostalgia fest. They're going to probably bring back Captain America, Hulk and Thor, and have this, probably in Secret Wars or whatever, and as kind of like a, back here. Here's how things used to be, kind of thing. But what's he gonna do? He's gonna hand off the mantle of Iron Man to, Ironheart or whatever. It's just passing the torch,
I forgot moment. She
like, it's not like it's going to be a main character going forward. Yeah. I don't think he cares enough or even about the money. They're probably going to throw a huge paycheck at him. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think he's definitely done with the character. And when Endgame was finished filming, because they wanted him back to just say to do the I am Iron Man line. Even that, he didn't want to come back for. He did end up coming back for it, but they had to, really convince him, probably with a lot of money.
For a reshoot?
Yes, they did. That was a reshoot when he said, I am Iron Man, and he snapped at the end.
Right.
That was a reshoot.
Okay.
So, he probably, really is, in his head, just done with the character, and he probably just doesn't want to come back from it. Mm-hmm. Because it's been such a big part of his life, and there really is no reason for him to. And he's got plenty of opportunities to further his career past Marvel, and he probably doesn't want to feel tied back to Marvel and feel like that's the only thing he's got.
What else has he done? Yeah. What else has he done since?
He was in Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah. Right. I forgot about that.
Other than that, I don't
know. Did Dr. Doolittle, which was terrible, but yeah, I don't know. But anyways, you're right. I don't think he wants to come back.
Let me look. I'm gonna look something up.
Okay. Yeah, it's just, and I'm sure Kevin Feige is probably doing everything he can to try to get him to come back because they know that without him, they're not going to be successful again, unless they completely wipe everything clean and start over with new characters, new actors. In my opinion, I think that's what they should do. But I don't think he wants to. I think he also doesn't like what they're. He probably doesn't even like what they're doing with the characters. I mean, I don't know if that's true actually, but and if he doesn't come back, Chris Evans isn't going to come back. Chris Hemsworth apparently they're doing a Thor 5. That's been reported. They're working on Thor 5 without Taika Waititi. I think Chris Hemsworth, I don't think he's done. He's coming back. I'm sure, obviously, Mark Ruffalo, he's still wanting to do it. I don't know if Jeremy Renner wants to do Hawkeye anymore. I'm sure he'll pop up somewhere again.
Yeah,
I don't know. And there's, yeah, I just, I don't know. I don't think if Robert Downey Jr. Doesn't come back, I know Chris Evans probably wouldn't come back. And I just, and what's the point? If you're not going to get Iron Man, then you know, what's the point in bringing back even Captain America? Like, I mean, you can, but it's still.
I think they might. I think, because I think Chris Evans doesn't really care.
No. He's, yeah.
But yeah. No, so interesting. What's his name? Robert Downey Jr. He took a 3-year break from acting. So after Endgame, oh, okay. He did Doolittle and didn't do anything for 3 years until 2023 when Oppenheimer came out. But he's slated for 4 movies that are coming out.
Mm.
So
okay.
So his next year will be pretty busy. But yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
I think they're
gonna definitely try to make as much money off of nostalgia as possible and stuff, bringing back as many people as they can. No
Way Home.
Yeah.
And it worked for the most part. Yeah. But it's just
it'll work again for maybe a couple of movies, and then
of course
it'll get to a point where
it'll just be a reminder of how things once were and how far that they've fallen. So you know, even if they did get Robert Downey Jr. back, that's all it would be. Like, it would just be him passing the torch onto the next generation that no one really cares about.
It'd be a total disgrace for the character, honestly, and even to Robert Downey Jr. in my opinion. So I think they should leave it alone. But any other Marvel stuff you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I don't think I wrote anything down about Marvel. Except for the Marvels and that Robert. I was going to mention Robert Downey Jr. as well, but I think it's probably about it. Apparently, Sabretooth is going to be in. He was on the set of Deadpool 3. There were some photo leaks. I mean, just spoiler. I don't know, like how. To qualify spoilers, maybe we'll put this in in the title of this After Hours episode. But because all this, I mean, even the fact that Robert Downey Jr. is probably not going to come back, like, that's a spoiler. I don't know how people will react to this. I don't mind hearing about these things, but like, anyway, Sabretooth. So, like, I don't know if it's actually the same actor as the X-Men Origins Sabretooth, but he's supposed to be in Wolverine 3. Which he's a pretty prominent character in all the Wolverine comics. I just watched an episode of the X-Men animated show where Sabretooth's in it. And they have, you know, pretty much, you know, they show a lot, there's a lot of beef between Sabretooth and Wolverine, and they have a whole history and whatnot. Hmm. So anyways, I thought that's kind of cool if they bring that character in. I mean, they are, cause he was on set. I don't think there's really anything else.
Cool. I want to talk about a good movie that's doing well is Godzilla Minus One. Everybody's very hyped about it, and that got me to want to go see it. And I know you haven't seen it, so I won't give any spoilers, but all together it was I really enjoyed it. There was a lot of good aspects to it, and I can definitely see why it is doing as well as it is, even for a Godzilla movie, which feels weird that it's a Godzilla movie that is so good. Like, I never thought I'd be that happy with a Godzilla movie. But yeah, I think definitely people should go see it. And then, funny enough, the same weekend that movie was doing really well, I don't know who's doing the Godzilla Kong movies. Is it Universal?
Universal tried to do their own MonsterVerse thing, but that was with like Dracula and Mummy. I'm pretty sure that's
Whoever.
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah. So whoever's doing that, they released the trailer for their Godzilla X Kong. So it's the sequel to
Yep.
Godzilla V Kong.
It's
Or I don't know if
Legendary
it's first.
Pictures. Oh, Warner Bros. What'd you say?
Oh, okay.
Did you say
Warner
Warner Bros?
Bros. No, I
No, you said
said
Universal.
Universal.
Yeah, so this is Warner Bros. And
Okay, yeah.
Legendary Pictures is the one that produced it, but yeah. Oh, it's
Yeah.
distributed by Warner, produced by Legendary.
Okay. Yeah, but they wanted
But
to
yeah.
get in on the hype of Godzilla, and so they, I guess, released their trailer the same
Released the
weekend
trailer.
that Godzilla Minus One was doing really well, so they released that trailer, which just looks like another CGI monster fest. I never saw Godzilla versus Kong. I don't know if you've seen it.
I
I kind
have.
of lost interest in those movies
Really?
already. I don't know.
Did you not like the first Godzilla in that series?
It was all right. I've never really been like, they're so overly action packed. I just don't find much interest in them.
Yeah. I feel like the first Godzilla, they did a really good job. Just they really good job introducing the character of Godzilla and just building tension throughout the movie and focusing a lot on the human characters, but doing so in a way that wasn't distracting. I mean, it might have been, I'd say maybe one fault is there was too much of a focus on the human characters, but I liked it. I thought they did a good job setting up the character. And then did you like Kong Skull Island with Tom
Yeah,
Hiddleston and Brie
that
Larson?
I liked.
I like that one. Yeah.
I think I remember liking that Godzilla more than I had any other Godzilla movies.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you should see Kong versus Godzilla. I liked it. I mean, so they did. I think they did Godzilla King of Monsters first, and then they did Godzilla versus Kong. I think it was King of Monsters that wasn't very good, but Kong versus Godzilla, it has its faults. It's very. I think it's really long and a little bit too drawn out. I can't remember a whole lot, but I remember it wasn't the best. I liked it for its action, but I think story was lacking, if I can remember. But I think you should watch them. I think they're fun. I'm really excited about the next one. I think it looks really good. I like King Kong. I've always been a huge King Kong fan, and I like Godzilla as well. And I really want to see Minus One. Just yeah, like I said. You've talking about it, and just I've heard so many great things about it. I really want to see it.
Is there
So, well,
two
and like,
Godzilla movies in that universe before the
yeah, there's Godzilla, there's Kong Skull Island, there's Godzilla King of Monsters, and then
I don't think I haven't even seen that other one.
I think, okay, I think I'm right. I think,
But
let
yeah,
me look
anyway,
it up.
so Godzilla Minus One interesting thing. So like I said, like
Godzilla King of Monsters.
I don't like a lot of the, because they do feel like very much big CGI fests and just complete action nonsense most of the time. But Godzilla Minus One, they had a really low budget of 15 million,
Yeah,
and to
which
be
is
able to
hilarious.
pull off, yeah, to be able to pull off what they did, like, okay, the visuals in this movie are incredible. Like, you can't really, I think there was maybe one scene that looked kind of weird with the CGI, but other than that, like it was literally just one scene and it was just like an airplane landing. That was it. Other than that, all the visuals in this movie, especially the Godzilla visuals and the ships and everything, and there's tons of action in this movie. All together, it was really good. Like there was very good visuals, very good CGI, and I think it's just such a slap in the face to Marvel and what they're doing. Like to be able to do what they did with, so okay, so the guy that directed it, wrote it, he also did the visuals for it. He did, I don't know
No
if it's
way.
like literally all the CGI, but like he's literally he did it. Like
Was it like
himself.
his company or like he just, I mean, he always has like his own
Let
team,
me see
but
what he's listed, like what his
I
credit
think
is on
I heard that. I
IMDb.
think I know
Let me
what
see
you're
what his
talking
credit
about.
is. Yeah.
Yeah, $15 million budget. You have all these other, and not, I mean, Dis I think Disney's a big example of this. Like they just have such inflated budgets. I don't know why, like why they have to spend so much money on a movie like that. you know, you have another good example was Five Nights at Freddy's, which I don't think you saw that, but I saw it. I liked it. It was fun. And I'm a Five Nights at Freddy's fan, but that movie I think had a $20 million budget, and it looked great. Like they did, I think they did a lot of practical effects, but even the CGI, I think it looks really good. And it's like $20 million budget. It was done by Blumhouse, which is a big studio, in the horror genre. And, man, like $20 million, and they made a profit. I think they made more than the Marvels, and it's off of a $20 million budget as opposed to like a $250 million budget. And then you have Godzilla Minus One, which is it's a pretty big scale movie, and they only put in $15 million.
Yeah,
and make a great product.
Yeah, so he's the visual effects supervisor.
Wow. Yeah. That's what I thought.
So that's there crazy. Is a whole team. There is a whole team of visual effects.
Yeah, but he's,
you know, just with everything. But he's he's the visual effects supervisor. So he did right. He did a lot of it, and it was just incredible to be able to see what they were able to do with that budget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. I'm gonna see it this week. I have to see it.
Yeah.
Man, like, what's so funny, I think the reason why these low budget movies can make so much money is because they're putting a lot more work and effort into what they have. Like, they're using the money that they're able to spend, and they're not wasting it. They're putting the hard work into it. They're producing the products that they want and that they know people are going to love. And it's not these big studios that are just pumping out content after content and not caring about story, not caring about character development and caring about the fans and giving the fans something that they like. So like the Godzilla Minus One is, if I'm not mistaken, it's a remake of the original 1953 Godzilla movie. I don't know if you knew that, but it's basically a remake of the original movie that came out in the 50s.
Yeah. Cause this, yeah, well, that movie took place, that Godzilla Minus One takes place in World War II.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's a period piece.
Yeah. Same thing, yeah. Same time frame, yeah. It's just ridiculous. I'm pretty sure I also heard that, go ahead.
This whole thing about, like, with these crazy budgets, I think it's a very good, one of the biggest movies, or I shouldn't say movie because it's not a movie, it's a series, but it's a series that had literally an unlimited budget is what you can call it. They're unlimited budgets where they can just spend as much money as they want and they don't produce good content because when you're making movies and shows and stuff, most of the art comes from when you don't have an unlimited budget and you have to come up with things on the spot with what you got. Like, so what I'm talking about is the Lord of the Rings series had like literally the biggest budget of anything ever. Like, it was like
any TV show ever.
So a show like that has such a huge budget and fails so astronomically at making something that is a good piece of art is just, shows that the budget, when you have that big of a budget, you can't make something great. You just can't. Right. And that's not the way the world works. That's not the way God created the world to be able to, if you have everything available to you to do whatever you want, like usually you don't make things as beautiful. Like beauty comes through, like, you know, diamonds are made by pressure. Like that's how you can make beauty is through pressure.
To find that diamond, you have to work through the rough. You have to fight. You have to dig for it. You have to look for it. And it does. You do the hard work to find the diamond in the rough. and it's hard to do that with movies. And you're right. Like you can't expect to make a great product when you're not having to struggle to make it. Like, you know, put in the hard work. Or have someone that's devoted, one guy who's doing everything in order to produce the movie that he wants, tell the story that he wants. Instead, you have all these studios, full of people and activists and, you know, keyboard warriors on social media, you know, who was going to blame, you know, sexism and racism for the failures in movies. And I'm talking about you, Marvel, with the Marvels. And you're not going to, yeah, you don't have people that really care about the product that you're releasing. You don't have people that care about the fans and the audience that you're providing a product for. And you're right, you have to put in that hard work and the fight for it, and to look for, search out, and find, what is needed in order to produce a great product. And it takes time and hard work, and people aren't willing to do that. These studios aren't willing to do that. They just want to produce content and not care about the story and not care about the characters or the fans that you're making this product for.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Any other things you want to talk about?
I just saw that Nicolas Cage is leaving movies and going to TV shows. He's going to do really? Three or four more movies. Okay. Yeah, he's going to do three or four more movies, and then he's done with movies and going to TV shows. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
He's like, he does like 10 movies a year, and now he's just going to be done. I wonder if he'll actually stick to that or not.
Yeah,
I don't know. Or if it's just, but yeah.
Maybe. Interesting.
But he's had a couple of his, I haven't seen his latest movie, but
yeah, well, he's had some. I can't. I know what you're talking about, but
yeah, but he's had some good movies lately, and
yeah, he had. Did you see The Old Way?
Yeah,
Western. That was filmed like half hour from here, from where I live.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's pretty cool. he lives close by. I think he lives in Big Sky, or no, he might live in Bozeman. Yeah, I mean, he has a house, like a lot of celebrities. I know someone who saw him at Target once buying a, I think it was a toaster or something.
That's funny.
I can't wait till the day that I can, walk into a grocery store that I'm working at and see Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
It'll happen. That's one of these funny days. I've been here for 7 years. It's going to happen. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the new movie Silent Night?
I haven't heard anything about it. I mean, I know the movie,
this is unrelated to Nicolas Cage. Silent Night is a movie with no dialogue.
What? Really?
It has no dialogue in the whole movie. I'm not even kidding. So if you watch the trailer, it's the same thing. No dialogue in the trailer. And it's basically a John Wick type movie where, you know, the dude, I think his daughter gets killed by some mob boss, and he goes on a killing spree it's a revenge movie. And so it's kind of like, I don't know if you remember the movie Nobody. It's like John Wick, Taken. It's that kind of movie. And so he's going on, the whole movie, there's car chase scenes, he's, killing bad guys and whatnot. And the entire movie, there's no dialogue at all.
Weird.
It's rated R. It's rated R. So it's rated R for violence and blood and gore and whatnot. Anyways, I've not seen it. I just thought it was interesting and just to think about different, like, unique movies and unique concepts with movies. If I know that's something you love and I as well. But,
huh.
It's really funny.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
There's another movie, I think, that has no dialogue. I'll have to watch it again. I don't know if it has absolutely no dialogue, but it's...
Yeah.
It makes sense with the movie because it's a guy that's alone and he's on a boat and he's, like, surviving a crazy storm.
So
it makes sense in that setting. So to be like in a movie like this where it's fighting and there's multiple people and like in a car chases in a city that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's and I've heard that Silent Night's a good movie. It because they just do a good job at building tension throughout the whole movie and just keeping the interest of the audience through the action and whatnot. And even though there's no dialogue, it's just funny.
Yeah.
And really interesting.
Huh. That's cool. I'll have to look into that one.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.